Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. No doubt starts now. Wow. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for February the 1st in the year of our Lord, 2020. February 1st in the year of our Lord, 2020. Wow, time flies when you're having fun. Can you believe it's already a month into 2020, ladies and gentlemen? All right, I was not live on Thursday or Friday. Hopefully we had some great rebroadcast shows for you. Hopefully it was educational and entertaining. And I don't know what's going on, but I'll tell you what, I've been sicker than a dog. Absolutely sick. I don't know what's wrong with me. I hope I don't have the coronavirus. I'm just kidding. I doubt that I have that for sure. But I do have this horrible, creepy lung problem. It's been going across the country. People have been having problems breathing and having problems with their lungs and a horrible cough. And I've had that big time. And it's made it very hard to breathe, much less talk on the radio for a couple of hours every day, right? So I took a break on Thursday and Friday, but I didn't totally take a break. I went to an event. And you'd say, Sam, why would you go to an event if you're sicker than a dog? Because I've got to. And because I believe I'm past the point of being infectious anyway. So I got this, and my family has had this weeks and weeks ago. And it just seems like it just keeps hanging on and getting worse. But anyway, I went to an event called the Silicon Slopes Tech Summit. And I'll talk about that as the broadcast unfolds a little bit as well. So Wednesday's broadcast was the last time we were together, folks, live, in person. And we had our guest on, Mr. James Edwards. We talked about race, politics, and hypocrisy in the 21st century. We talked about thepoliticalcesspool.org. It was Sam, Kurt, and James, all three of us. We had a great two-hour broadcast. We talked about Rand Paul saying Donald Trump's children should sue Chuck Schumer for defamation. Boy, howdy, is that true. But James Edwards tried to sue over defamation, libel, slander, and got nowhere. A whole parade of people have done that since. Nobody seemed to be gaining much ground. Donald Trump promised he'd change the libel laws, and he's done nothing. Hour two, we continued. We talked about this guy praising Hitler ends badly for football coach, right? Grand Valley. I guess it's Grand Valley State College suspends Morris Berger after he lauds DeFerrer, if you will, for his leadership skills. Now, the idea was, hey, who would you like to sit down with? If you could sit down with anybody for dinner, who would you sit down with? And this coach, right? Morris Berger said, I'd like to sit down with Hitler. You know, the guy had incredible leadership skills. I don't agree with anything that he did with his leadership skills. Nevertheless, he got people to follow him like no other. And I'd like to learn about how he did that. And I mean, the whole world melted down over this poor guy. Now, I wouldn't choose to interview Hitler if it were me, but I understand his point. Why do we have a problem with talking to someone? If you could talk to Joseph Stalin and try to find out why he did the things he did, would you do it? What about Charles Manson? What about, okay, just because he wants to learn about the leadership skills of somebody. I mean, Satan has incredible leadership skills, doesn't he? He gets a lot of people to follow him. Now, I personally, if I were to sit down with somebody, I'd try to bring my wife with me. And I'd do a double date, and I'd try to sit down with George and Martha Washington, personally. I'd like to learn how the greatest general in the world's history was wise enough to lose battle after battle after battle, and his viewpoint was losing was winning because I stay alive for the next day. And many people called George Washington at the time a coward. Many people said he couldn't win. Many people said he didn't know how to win. But he understood that he couldn't win. He also understood that he needed to see the next day and that God would find a way. What a tremendous leader, in my opinion, General George Washington was. What a man who could have been king, who stepped down and said, no, that's not what this is about. It's not about me. It's about, okay, I would like, and I would like to know from the wife's perspective, Martha Washington perspective, you know what, who is this guy? I mean, is he as humble in person and in private as he is in public? And is this really who the guy is, or what made him tick? And man, I would just love that kind of conversation. Okay. But whether you like or dislike the people that somebody might choose to interview for whatever fascination reason, I have a problem in America when we just decide we can't talk, we can't have our own opinion. Why do you ask the question of the coach if you're not okay with his answer? Anyway, what a sad tale to tell. Right? I would also like to interview Abraham Lincoln. Personally, you know, the South hates him. The North applauds him. Many people say he was a wonderful man. Many people say he was an awful man, horrible man. You know, I look at it differently. I think he was an incredible man, and I don't believe exactly as the South believes that he was a horrible man. But I also don't believe as the North believes that he should be just this hero with no accountability. For the most part, I believe the South was correct in the war about states' rights. It wasn't about slavery like we're told. It was about states' rights and about self-determination. Do we have a group of 50 constitutional republics? Yes or no? Are they bound by force or bound by free association? Meaning the states, right? What makes up the United States? Is it by force or by choice? So there's a lot of questions to ask there, and I think the South was really in the right on most of that. I'm against slavery. Let's be very clear. Don't take words and twist them. I'm against slavery. Okay, but I would like to really understand what made Abraham Lincoln change his mind on some of these things. He had a different view, and he changed his views. And when things went down, how much really self-determination did Abraham Lincoln have versus how much of it was a freight train and the president just has to go along? I don't know those things, but I'd sure be interested to talk to him and ask. What made the change? Some people say even pretty average guys, when they become president or, you know, God touches their hearts in certain ways and they become different people and they live larger and become larger than themselves. Did that happen to Abraham Lincoln? Would he tell us tales of experiences on his knees before God and maybe even visions and guidance from the Almighty, leading the freest nation in the history of the world? What would happen in that interview? I don't know. But I'm telling you, those are two people, or three people, I should say, that I would like to interview. George and Martha Washington. And Abraham Lincoln. And I'd really like to know what those pivotal realities, those two huge wars, the Civil War and the Revolutionary War, which, you know, what happened in those pivotal moments? Was it prayer? Was it visions? Was it a quiet confirmation of what you're doing is right or wrong or good or bad or what you ought to do or not? How did you get so firm in your convictions? How did you get so comfortable in your own skin to make these decisions where life and death for millions, hundreds of thousands are in the balance, huh? Okay, I'd be interested the most in that, personally. But anyway, I digress, except to say I really feel bad for this coach because they literally asked him a question. He answered it as honest as he could. He knew he was going to get beat up, and wow, the pain and the abuse was swift. In America, we got to take a step back, though, and say, hey, there were interesting leaders in history, whether you like or dislike what they did, that would be interesting in getting inside their heads, inside their hearts and minds to see what made them tick. That's for sure. All right, the end is nigh. We talked about the doomsday clock. They claim reaches 100 seconds to midnight. Joe Biden says, I sure would like Michelle to be my vice president. Speaking of Michelle Obama. And we talked about an incredible couple, Jack and Harriet Morrison, together for nearly 65 years, die on the same day. What a heroic couple. What an example to follow. We talked about a FedEx driver, Amanda Rickenfield. God called her to pray for a woman. She met a woman. She felt bad for the story the woman told her. Returns to her front door 20 stops later, regardless of what it does to her work schedule, and says, I've got to stand up for Christ first. We talked about Tim Tebow and Demi Lee Nell Peters. They got married. My dreams have come true, says Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow reflects on breaking ground as a homeschooler and a homeschool student. He didn't attend a single day of government school until he went to college. Yeah, his first day at the University of Florida was the first time he ever went to public school. Anyway, what a tremendous example Tim Tebow is. Again, another marriage to celebrate. We talked about Jeff Hunt. Donald Trump is the most successful pro-life president in our history. I have to agree with Jeff Hunt on that one. No doubt about it. Sure, Donald's got a lot to be desired. I get it. But I also got to give credit where credit's due, and President Trump has done a lot for pro-life. And I'll tell you what I find amazing. Every time I study and research the pro-life issue, I find out there's more Donald's done behind the scenes than he even gets credit for the pro-life efforts. Little moves that he's made that make a huge difference. So you got that going on, and that's a recap of the broadcast that took place on Wednesday. Thursday and Friday, I was out, sick, struggling with his breathing problem, but I was also going to the Incredible Tech Summit, which, I'll have to cover later in the broadcast here. But Sam attends and reports on Silicon Slope Tech Summit 2020. So I'll get to that as the broadcast unfolds. And, man, there's a lot to cover. A lot's been happening in the news, and I'll get to it all, okay? Senate rejects witnesses in Trump impeachment trial. Yeah, Republican majority 51-49. Vote keeps new evidence from being introduced. They said, look, we're not going to take new witnesses, and we're not going to take new evidence. They vote to convict or not next week. Quick pause. Liberty Roundtable Live. I'm Sam Bushman, live on your radio.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
All right, so the Republicans literally doubled down yesterday in the Senate. They reject witnesses. They also reject any more evidence from a 51-49 vote. The question becomes, is Mr. Trump's acquittal virtually certain now or not? What do you say? Huh? Is Mr. Trump's acquittal virtually certain? I think so. I don't know that the Democrats would agree with that. I think they might try to still have some tricks up their sleeves. But the bottom line is the Republicans and Democrats were really along partisan lines. There was two Republicans that voted with the Democrats. All right. Mitt Romney of Utah and Susan Collins of Maine joined the Democrats in favor. What's up with that? Some say, hey, we believe Donald was guilty of some of the charges. And I don't agree. Okay, and I'll tell you why I don't agree. I don't think Donald Trump is the driven snow in this thing by any means. But I also don't know that the impeachment line items that were given from the House to the Senate, in other words, obstruction of Congress or whatever, and misuse of power. See, I don't think those are definable enough to convict. And I don't think that there's any reality when it comes to the Constitution on this. The Constitution says for high crimes and misdemeanors, treason, this kind of stuff. It doesn't say, oh, if you abuse your power. Okay, so it's the third presidential impeachment proceeding in U.S. history. Okay. So it's kind of an interesting thing. I don't think any Democrats really sided with the Republicans, though, do they? Wow. America will remember this day, unfortunately, where the Senate, quote, did not live up to its responsibilities when the Senate turned away from truth and went along with a sham, said Chucky Schumer of New York. The Democratic leader, if the president is acquitted with no witnesses, that's a lie, no documents, the acquittal will have no value because Americans will know that this trial was not a real trial. See, I disagree. You don't have to call new witnesses in a trial. You can say the House's job is to impeach. They're supposed to find evidence. And if justifiable, they will say, here's the evidence. Now, Senate, you're supposed to convict. They already gathered the evidence. They already had the witnesses they wanted to have. Republicans tried to call more witnesses, and the Democrats said no more witnesses. So the Democrats went from no more witnesses in the House to, yes, we want all the witnesses in the Senate. Now, several Republicans did challenge Donald Trump's repeat assertions that he did nothing wrong, saying they believed that he had committed the main offense to which he was accused, withholding $400 million in military aid to pressure Ukraine to investigate former Vice President Joe Biden Jr. And other Democrats went along and added this. But they said they were unwilling to remove a president fewer than 10 months before he is to face the voters. See, and I think that's a critical component here. Right? When do you let the Senate decide? 100 people, if you will. Versus when do you let the voters decide? If you're persuaded that he already did it, why do you need more witnesses? Said Senator Lamar. Alexander, he's a Republican in Tennessee. All right. Now, the bottom line is, well, you know what? If they already know if he's guilty or not, if everybody's made up their minds, why are we going to call more witnesses? And I believe this, call this a conspiracy theory, call it what you will. I believe the swamp is protecting itself. The Democrats claim they want more witnesses because it puts them in a good position. But if they wanted more witnesses, they could have done that in the House, but they chose not to. So their hypocrisy is highlighted in that reality. The Republicans say they want no witnesses, and they don't. And the reason is because they want to protect the Democrats. See, I believe they've all got a quid pro quo going on here, which is this. Let's battle over this. Let the Republicans in the Senate not convict. Let them acquit. That way they win. We leave it up to the voters. The Democrats get the benefit of that too, but they were pushing for, hey, accountability, so they get the credit on that side. The Republicans say we're just defending the rule of law. They get that. But in the end, what happens when no witnesses are called, nobody digs into Joe Biden and Hunter Biden's scandals. Right? So they're basically picking the unique situation to have the swamp protect itself and for everybody to walk away with a win. The Democrats get a win because they can say, we impeached Donald. He was bad. The Republicans get to say, wait a minute, we upheld the rule of law and stopped renegade Democrats. The voters get to win because they get to decide who the next president will be without election tampering from the Congress. The swamp wins the biggest because the swamp gets to say, hey, we're going to protect our own. We're not going to convict the Donald, or we're not going to convict Joe or Hunter or Hillary or anybody else who might come up in these scandals. That's my opinion of what's going on here. It's a sad tale to tell. And I think the Republicans, if they are not going to prove my point correct, what they'll do is they'll acquit Donald immediately. They could have already done it Friday. They could have held back-to-back votes, but they didn't. They love to drag this on. So next week, we're told that they'll acquit. I don't know if that'll be true or not. I don't know if it'll be that simple or if somebody will toss a wrench in the works. But if they really wanted to get it over with, they could have voted back-to-back votes and said, hey, do you vote to have more evidence? Do you vote to have more witnesses? No, no. Okay, are we going to acquit? Yes, yes. Done. End of story. But they didn't. They all went home and held it over the weekend or whatever they did. Now, if the Republicans are serious about accountability, and if Joe Biden is really a criminal, as is his son Hunter Biden, and if the allegations of a sitting vice president at the time, Joe Biden, really did win his son or award his son a special contract, making big money for knowledge he did not even possess, and the office of vice president was used to garner that contract with a foreign government on behalf of his son, if that's all true and there's criminal activity, way more than the allegations against Donald Trump, with Donald Trump, they're just saying, hey, you were digging into your political opponent, but it gets way worse with Hunter. But if those allegations are true, which I believe they are, then the Republicans have an obligation after they acquit the Donald to pursue this Biden scenario second, to truly dig in and to truly file lawsuits and get an investigation not only rolling, but beyond, okay? But I don't think the Republicans will. They'll talk about it, but then it'll just get lost in the minutia of disruptive media. What do I mean by disruptive media? Well, they got the, and my wife brought this one up to me, they've got the Kobe Bryant stories just wall to wall. And it's taken the focus off of impeachment to a great degree. And don't get me wrong, I mean, we're all sad that Kobe passed away and all those other people in the helicopter died with Kobe. We get it. But at the same time, does it really need to be that much wall-to-wall coverage? Or is that used for a distraction disruptive tactic, huh? Anyway, the question becomes, is Trump's acquittal virtually certain? Huh? Now, Mitt Romney of Utah and Susan Collins of Maine joining Democrats in favor. What is that all about? And I say shame on Mitt Romney. And see, I think Mitt Romney has a whole nother agenda, which is, you know what, if Donald doesn't win, then Mitt can come back in 2024 and say, we got to go. You know what? Donald was unhinged. A lot of people felt like they had to go along with him or get smashed by the steamroller of Trumpism. But let's come back to our senses now and have a center candidate, a moderate candidate, not an extreme right winger like the Donald, but a moderate candidate. That's what Romney would want to do. Romney is doing this and getting a lot of fame and a lot of name recognition and a lot of, quote, bipartisan support for this. A lot of Republicans secretly agree with Mitt Romney, especially the swamp monster Republicans. And a lot of the Democrats agree with Romney. Romney is using this to grandstand and put himself in a great position. And I believe that's what Susan Collins is doing as well. What a sad tale to tell. All right. Should we move to the Super Bowl? You got it. Liberty Roundtable Live. I'm Sam Bushman.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Do USA Radio News with Wendy King.
The yeas are 49, the nays are 51. The motion is not agreed to.
The Senate has voted to not allow witnesses and documents in President Trump's impeachment trial. Two Republican senators broke rank and voted yes. All others were along party lines. Minority Leader Chuck Schumer said,
America will remember this day, unfortunately, where the Senate did not live up to its responsibilities, where the Senate turned away from truth and went along with a sham trial.
His counterpart, Mitch McConnell, said in a statement there was no need for the Senate to reopen an investigation that the House chose to conclude. A final vote that is expected to end with President Trump's acquittal is expected on Wednesday, the day after the president gives the State of the Union address. This is USA Radio News.
Why spend more than you have to on your life insurance? Hi, I'm John David Wells from The Wells Report. Did you know that life insurance rates have fallen 60% over the past 25 years? Even if you already own life insurance, you should check out the folks at AccuQuote. Since 1986, they've helped millions of people save up to 60% on their life insurance by comparing the rates and features of dozens of top-rated life insurance products. Want some examples? Here's this one. A healthy 50-year-old non-smoker can buy $500,000 worth of 10-year level term for less than $45 a month. A 60-year-old under $120 a month. 20 or 30 year terms, even permanent plans are also available. And if you're on medications or have health problems, the experts at AccuQuote will still work with you to find an affordable policy. Nobody does it better than AccuQuote. Call 877-437-5912 right now. That's 877-437-5912. 877-437-5912. Life insurance. AccuQuote. Call them today.
Rates, policy forms, and availability vary by state.
The U.S. is banning some travel from China temporarily to reduce the risk of the coronavirus.
The burden of the number of people who come in from China is obviously decreased because of this, but it's still too much to do the kind of screening that we feel comfortable with.
Dr. Anthony Fauci of the CDC on the Fox Business Network. A seventh case of the virus has been confirmed in the U.S., a man from San Francisco who recently went to China, where there are now 250 people dead and nearly 12,000 sickened by the virus. Consumer spending rose 0.3% in December. According to the Commerce Department, spending for all of last year was up 4%. The outlook of Americans, meanwhile, rose in January to the highest level in 9 months. Economists at the University of Michigan say the stronger-than-projected consumer sentiment reading is due to low unemployment and record gains in income and wealth. You're listening to USA Radio News.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
All right, live and on your radio, hard-hitting talk at your fingertips, libertyroundtable.com. News the networks refuse to use continues. We are live 6 days a week, ladies and gentlemen, so Saturday morning, live hard-hitting talk, available all weekend, downloadable and beyond. Spread the word, libertyroundtable.com. So is Donald Trump's acquittal virtually certain? Some say yes, I'm one of them. Mitt Romney of Susan Collins grandstanding. Joining Democrats in favor, but the majority of Republicans, 51-49. No witnesses and, you know what, no more new evidence. The Democrats are howling about it, but they're the ones that could have had more witnesses in the House side if they chose, and they chose not to. Strange how they're flipping from no more witnesses, let's send it to the Senate. We got to hurry, this is so critical. Now we're trying to acquit quickly, and they say, got to drag this on forever. So they flip-flop. They said, we got to hurry and get it done yesterday. Now it's dragging on forever. They in the House said no more witnesses. In the Senate, they're saying, got to have witnesses. You're not even doing honor to the system. What? All right. Anyway, enough of that. Let's move to the Super Bowl because it's tomorrow. Donald Trump and Michael Bloomberg are both spending $11 million on Super Bowl ads. Never before in history have two presidential candidates aired national ads during the Super Bowl. But it's the battle of the billionaires, if you will. And Donald and Bloomberg are spending $11 million each. So that's $22 million between the two of them on the Super Bowl. Imagine that, folks. Now, Bloomberg has a 60-second ad literally going for more gun control. So he's an absolute extreme Democratic-style gun grabber. But he's going to pitch himself as kind of center. He's not extreme like old Trump is the idea. But he's a radical gun grabber, folks. Don't make any mistake. Now, I find this interesting because in the past we could have labeled him as a gun grabber. But nowadays, with so much swirling around President Trump, they're going to say Michael's the common sense guy that wants to stop, you know, killings everywhere. Never mind, gun control doesn't stop killings. That's the lie they're selling. Okay, when there's no guns in the hands of good guys, it just means that we're all vulnerable. Good guys stop bad guys with guns every time. Anyway, I digress except to say his whole 60-second Super Bowl TV commercial will be about gun control and won't really talk about the Donald too much. Donald, on the other hand, has a, well, I don't know what you call it, 2-30-second Super Bowl ad strategy. And the 1-30-second Super Bowl ad is really just to highlight how awesome it's been making America great again and keeping America great and highlighting what Donald's done in office. He's done a tremendous job. Look at the economy. It's just phenomenal. And they say it's not a very unique commercial at all. In fact, it doesn't even have the flair of a Super Bowl commercial. It's just very low profile. I don't know how you say that when you're spending $11 million, but it's low profile, right? But Donald Trump also has a 30-second ad yet to be shown that no one's seen yet. And they say that could blow the lid off and get, you know, could go viral. So Bloomberg promoting gun control. Donald saying, I've done a tremendous job in office. Look at the proof. And then the wild card is the other 30-second commercial that Donald's going to roll out. No one knows what it really is yet. Sadly, Super Bowl's on Sunday. Now, I believe in this idea of keeping the Sabbath day holy. So I don't really believe in Super Bowl on Sunday in the first place. But nevertheless, more Americans miss church than ever. Right? Now, Bloomberg has already spent $275 million of his multi-billion dollar fortune on television, radio, and digital media. I wish he spent a couple of bucks on my digital media platform, huh? We could use the money. Anyway, I digress. So I don't think we ought to have Super Bowl on Sunday, but nevertheless, that's what we're doing in America. You know, thou shalt have no other gods before me is really important, you know, and I don't know why we ignore this. But we make the Lord's Day a day of buying and selling and getting and spending and entertainment and bread and circus, and it's a sad day in my mind. A lot of people will be skipping church on Sunday for the Super Bowl. They say the VIP food for the Super Bowl is wings. People are going to be eating more wings on Super Bowl Sunday than at any other time, bar none. Millions and millions and millions of wings. But what's interesting is the day after. So you have a big party on the Sabbath, which, you know, you ought to be in church, folks. But nevertheless, after the big beer, alcohol, food violation of the Sabbath, you know, fest called Super Bowl, then they say this in USA Today. Millions of fans will skip work with what they're now calling bowl fever. You ever heard of bowl fever? It's a new phenomenon. Well, I should say a recent. I shouldn't say new. A recent phenomenon. Listen to this. Super Bowl fever is expected to result in 17.5 million employees missing work on Monday. The day after Super Bowl, that's according to this group called the Workforce Institute. I don't even know what that is. Workforce Institute at Kronos. And Kronos Inc. is predicting it's the largest amount ever since the Institute began tracking this in 2005. That's why I say recent, not new. Recent in modern history. Since 2005, they've tracked this thing called bowl fever. And how many people get Super Bowl fever and then don't go to work the next day? And the answer is, they say, like 17 million. And that is massive, 17.5 million. Now listen to this carefully, because this is just shocking to me. This to me just shows what a first world nation we are with first world problems. Okay? They say while 11.1 million workers plan to use pre-approved time to stay home on Super Bowl Monday, 4.7 million plan to call out sick, even though they're not even ill. Wow. That number is shocking. And the question that you got to ask yourself is, should those people be fired? The problem is it's impossible to prove. How do you, well, you think, I doubt they're sick, but how do you really know? And the sad part is this mass, quote, Super Bowl fever, almost a protest of the next day of work, employers can't do anything about. If they're not very careful, they'll run afoul of regulations. I mean, how do you determine that an employee is sick or not or whatever? But 17.5 million people, 11.1 million workers basically take the day off and say, hey, we're not sick. We're going to use pre-approved time to get the day off. Got to stay home on Super Bowl Monday, man. Got to recuperate, recover, you know? Wow. That is shocking to me. Is it to you? Do you believe that Super Bowl Sunday is that critical for 4.7 million Americans to flat out lie and say they're sick when they're not? For 11 plus million Americans to just take time off for the day? The survey found that some workers even plan to not just show up, but 1.5 million. They're planning to, quote, ghost their employer without even notifying anyone. Right? I can't even understand that. Just ghost your employee, or your employer. Just don't even show up, man. I don't understand that. Just ghost? Now, many employers try to operate as though it's business as usual, but they're all short-handed when this happens. It's a big problem in America. Right? Are you guys going to just ghost your employer? I hope my listeners wouldn't do such a thing. Are you going to call in sick and lie to your employer? I hope my listeners wouldn't do such a thing either. Are you going to take the day off work? Well, hey, if you have time off and you ask for the time off and your boss gives it to you, there's nothing wrong with doing that. Right? 11.1 million workers saying they're going to take approved time off. That's okay. I don't have any problem with that. You can do that for any reason. And especially if you arranged it with your boss, there's nothing wrong with it if it's approved. But this idea, I just can't imagine ghosting your employer without notifying anyone. It's amazing. All right. Quick pause. I got a lot more on your radio. Liberty Roundtable Live. I'm Sam Bushman.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way. But actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
So, you love talk radio? Then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on 24/7 with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
All right, you're gearing up for the Super Bowl, ladies and gentlemen. You're going to be like the 1.5 million Americans that are just going to flat out not show up and just ghost your employer. Don't ask for permission, just ask for forgiveness on the back end, if you will. Are you going to be like the 4.7 million that just call in sick and lie when you're not really ill? Although I guess you're kind of ill if you got a big old ripping hangover and you can't hardly move because you've been so irresponsible in your personal life that you can't deal with your professional life. Is that it? Well, the 11 million Americans that are taking the day off legitimately saying, hey, I, you know what, got time available and I'm going to use it. And I asked for permission and my boss said yes. And that's all cool. What about the businesses that try to operate as usual? Kind of a very strange situation, huh? Right? All right. Anyway, so what is a Super Bowl? You know, is it a time for family and friends and loved ones? You know, a lot of people believe that, right? Is that good? Is that legitimate? You know, I think the idea of the Super Bowl, the spending time together with family and loved ones and, you know, doing something that's an American pastime and everything, I do think it has some value. What I personally don't believe is it's worth violating the Sabbath over. That's kind of where I draw the line personally. I just don't agree with that it's worth violating the Sabbath over. I would choose to do different things. So I thought it might make sense for me to tell you what I'm going to do on Super Bowl Sunday. I'm not going to watch the Super Bowl at all. I am going to Monday morning check the score and find out who won so that I can report it on the radio. I find the Super Bowl to be ever more political every time. So now you've even got quarterbacks and players saying, if we win, you know, we'll be surely invited to the White House by the Donald. And we're already going to tell you we're probably not going to go to the White House with the Donald. Or, you know, things like that. They're already making it political. Now you got two presidential candidates running their ads. So 60 seconds for Bloomberg, 60 seconds for the Donald. 120 seconds for sure is going to be hardcore political. Do you want a more politicized Super Bowl? Do you want the Super Bowl to literally violate the Sabbath day and then paralyze the next day of work? We're getting too, in my opinion, tied up in bread and circus and in first world problems, things that don't matter much. You'd say, well, Sam, the Super Bowl's important, buddy. This is critical. I wish they'd make Monday Night Football and put Super Bowl on Monday, personally. Should it become a national holiday? Should we just say, you know what, all government workers get the day off? You know what, Donald's just going to declare Super Bowl a national holiday, man. Look, if we can take a day off and call it national holiday for Martin Luther King Jr., I mean, the Super Bowl is just as important as that, isn't it? Oh, Sam, how dare you say those things? All right, what about the 1.5 million Americans that are going to flat out ghost their employer and not even show up? Not even notifying anybody, just don't even show up. All right, well, all right, that's enough of that. But I'm telling you, I'm disappointed. in the Super Bowl and how America takes the Super Bowl. They say right around 100 million Americans will be watching the Super Bowl. And what I find fascinating about that number being floated right now is usually it's been 113, 112, 120 million Americans. It's going to drop this time to like 100 million. But the prices for Super Bowl commercials are up. Donald for 60 seconds paid $11 million. I mean, that is just wow. And Michael Bloomberg paid $11 million. That number is just staggering for a 60-second commercial. In Donald's case, it's two 30-second commercials. But still, right? I mean, that is just amazing. All right, 11 million divided by 60 seconds. It's $183,000 a second. Did you hear me? $183,000 a second. And as far as I understand, the numbers are probably going to be down slightly. It's amazing to me, right? Right? All right. Enough of the Super Bowl. Our prayers are that we can focus on things that matter most in the Republic. All right, David Kapilian at WND.com comes out with a very interesting, provocative question that I thought was worth our attention. Listen up. After impeachment, because you know if the Republicans do what they promised to do mid-next week, impeachment's going to be done. The House impeached. The Senate said no to more witnesses and no to more evidence. And then they refused to convict, so they acquit, which means he won't be removed from office, which means he won't be tried on criminal charges. All that'll go away. So David Kapilian's question says, after impeachment, what's the Democrats' next outrage? And it's a fair question, because the Trump derangement syndrome, as it's now been dubbed, is a serious thing. Right? What is the number one purveyor of the Trump derangement syndrome? The Democrats have been so cynical and disgraceful regarding this impeachment charade that it's now flaming out, but new left-wing insanity is bursting forth all around us. Elizabeth Warren, for example, says that if she's elected, her Secretary of Education will be in charge of tens of millions of precious American children, right? Well, she said that they will be promoting transgender children. That's flat out insane, folks. We have actual insane people running for president that want to force and push gender manipulation. Joe Biden, I mean, he makes up all these crazy past heroic stories that aren't even true. He's forgetting what state he's in, even defending his son, Hunter. But Joe and Hunter are guilty of one of the most obvious, egregious, high-profile textbook cases of political corruption and memory, but Biden insists that there's nothing that I've ever done that's anything but completely in line with the best interests of the United States of America, see? But this guy's a nut. But there again, I think that Republicans, they better push. After they acquit Donald, they better push on this Joe Biden thing, or else the swamp wins and it defends itself with Republican support, right? But then you got Bernie Sanders. This guy's a nutcase, too. I mean, he looks like the Democrats' frontrunner right now, even. Americans need to face the real possibility that a flat-out deranged, perpetually enraged old communist could become president of the United States of America if elected. Bernie Sanders wants to issue a lot of executive orders reversing many of Trump's key policies, including halting border wall construction, eliminating the rejection of accepting refugees, and reinstating Obama's DACA program. The Democrats, you see, believe that it's necessary that racist America should be entirely overrun with unvetted immigrants. Legal or illegal, doesn't matter. Including tens of thousands of gang members, including MS-13 gang members and more. Bernie says that incarcerated terrorists should be allowed to vote even. Right? So MS-13 gang members, of course, should qualify as Bernie voters as well, see? But if Sanders is not elected, believe it or not, his supporters and campaign workers, four of them, by the way, who have now said and been caught on camera by Veritas, you've heard of Project Veritas, right? That they are plotting major violence in America if Bernie loses. And one of the supporters is the one that shot Steve Scalise back in 2017. And another was just arrested on Friday for breaching two security checkpoints near President Trump's Mar-a-Lago Club in Florida. They're making it clear that they think America is due for a violent revolution if Donald Trump wins the election. How on earth did America get to such a bizarre place? Asks the WorldNet Daily author. And where does this epic conflict ultimately end? Let's take two steps back and answer the first question. What we cryptically call the left, that's code for a godless revolutionary movement steeped in pathological anger and churning rebellion against America as a uniquely blessed Judeo-Christian constitutional republic. It's at war, not just with the Trump administration, but with America herself. Many have likened the current state of American society to a second civil war. I wouldn't go that far, but it's getting close, at least in the culture war, isn't it? After 3 years of Donald Trump as president, we have a time of nonstop lying and disruption by the unhinged left, aided by the rest of the, quote, ruling class. The Democrats' impeachment farce has just been the latest phase of a deeply un-American, unconstitutional, and immoral, never-ending coup. Yet who's the most important player of all in determining the outcome of this new, quote, political civil war we're experiencing? Everybody knew from the start Trump wouldn't be removed from office by impeachment, right? Because it takes two-thirds to convict. They're not even going to come close. You'd have to have 19 of the current 53 Republican senators defect to the dark side. It's an impossibility, right? The true purpose of the impeachment charade, just like the, quote, Trump-Russia scandal, and the idea that Trump is a racist, a fascist, a Hitler sympathizer, etc., a KKK white supremacist, all those charades, their goal is to poison voters, to try to make sure Donald Trump loses his re-election bid to one of the lunatic Democrat presidential hopefuls this November. So who, you ask, would be the most responsible party in this whole coup? That would be the news media. Yeah. What's the Democrats' next outrage, you ask? David Kapilian, WND.com, with an incredible column. Today's mainstream news establishment is largely a gigantic, cynical hoax, whacked out by the swamp. They just pretend to engage in journalism while in reality, they're little more than a propaganda ministry. Are we reaching a point of no return in our country this November? Maybe. What can you do, folks? You can support the new media taking center stage. David Kapilian writing the piece, great job at WND.com, very insightful. What will the Democrats do next? We declare this nation shall endure.